This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
My God, that goes back. They were around singing when I was in high school. My goodness. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy, partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for being with us on this Friday, May the 7th already. We got a lot planned today. We'll be talking in a few minutes with Joel Griffith of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk with him about President Biden's tax hike plans and his false claim during his speech about the Heritage Foundation's position on his tax plan. So stay tuned for that. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a voting bill. It strengthens voter ID in the state. It bans ballot harvesting, among other things. So we're going to get some thoughts about it from the proprietor of the Barber Poll himself, Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And hey, what is China doing over in the Atlantic Ocean? What's going on over there? It looks like they're trying to expand their military reach. They're kind of goofing around on the Atlantic side of the of Africa. We're going to take a look at that, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, now that Bill Gates is ending his 27-year marriage, I know you heard about that, we're going to give you the top 10 all-time costliest divorces. Ed's in the running. Are you not, Ed, for one of the costliest divorces?
Let's not go there.
All right. We won't. I don't think he's in there.
It cost a lot. I gave her $50 and told her to hit the ground a bus ticket.
Then I don't think you qualify, Ed. I'm sorry. It's just not that big of a deal, all right?
Best $50 I ever spent.
Okay. All right. Now I've lost my place. Oh, yes. By the way, we are sponsored. Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Best barber in town. I don't know why you threw me at, but you threw me a curve there.
He would be a good bartender, though, wouldn't he?
He would.
He'd have the stories.
He would, wouldn't
yeah, well,
he?
Yeah.
I can see him there, you know, with his, you know.
Of course, you wouldn't get a word in edgewise.
No, you wouldn't. And by the time he finished, you'd be drunk, yeah. Now that I think about it. But Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. You got to call for your appointment. But when you get in there, I'm going to tell you, best haircut, great price, everything good, beautiful place. 727-733-3773. Hey, they're open Saturday, tomorrow. They're open now. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, starting at 8:30 in the morning. 727-733-3773. And I'm sure you know that Good Morning Clearwater is before our show. I always push them because they do such a nice job. We promote them Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, let them start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment. I should mention that Ed has a show. Ed has a show every morning. And Ed, your show is from 7 to 8 a.m.
Tell us a little bit about it.
I should promote it.
Well, I took a little break. But
yeah.
Just kind of, you know, getting an intro For Good Morning Clearwater. So
just
playing some music and
yeah,
a couple of opinions and getting ready for Good Morning Clearwater.
Yeah, you've got a great background in music, and you got a great background in talk radio and the whole bit. So it's always interesting. So you're on 7 to 8 Monday through Friday. All right. Well, did you see the latest on the jobs report? It went below expectations. The unemployment rate has unexpectedly gone up to 6.1%. Now, that's, you know, well below last year at this time where we were at like 14.7%. Mm. But it's about twice the pre-crisis, pre-COVID level. Twice. What's going on over there? Now, the economy added about 266,000 jobs last month, sharply below what they expected. So we're not working on. So maybe it's because of these stupid unemployment boosts that a lot of people are getting, and they're not going back to work.
It's confusing to walk into a place and see a big sign that says now hiring, and you even see incentives like $200 signing bonus or this or that, where they're just screaming for boy, and then this, you see unemployment numbers are up because, well, maybe if we stop giving them money to stay home, you know, that's enough of that. And I believe Governor DeSantis is going to end that real quickly.
I can give you a personal situation with it. Because of, I think, because of the these unemployment checks, our lawn service guy lost employees that he had, and he had to cut back on the number of homes that he was able to service because of that, included my home. So I can tell you from a personal standpoint, I think I was affected personally by all of this.
Last week, there was a Chick-fil-A in Pinellas Park that had to close early at like 6 o'clock because they didn't have any employees after that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary. So, I don't know why we're, you know, when we are in a hiring mode in this country, why in the hell are we sending out additional unemployment benefits to people? They have the opportunity to go to work. And if they go to work, it's going to, first of all, psychologically, getting up and going to work, having a job, making something of yourself, you know, it's good for the soul. Anyway, here's the economist, Mark Hamrick, talking about all of this. He says, we've known for some time now there are tensions or mismatches between the demand for workers and a large number of job openings and a large number of unemployed people. Many employees report struggling to find available workers. Supply constraints are also limiting further improvement in the output. Anyway, we know about this. This is why we have never, on this program, we have never advocated federal government involvement in the private sector when it comes to work. It does not work. If you want states and locals to governments to step in when they think there's an issue in their area, that is, they're a lot closer to the people. But this just never works. All right, we're going to take our break.
Before you do that, Paul, I wanted to dip into the mailbag here.
Oh, okay.
You have a question from your colleagues at Voice of Reason.
Ed Golly and,
who are on Thursdays at 10
yes,
in the morning.
Yes, indeed. I listen to them, by the way, from time to time. Yep.
You and me both. So let me
Give you... Well, you have to listen to them.
Well, I do.
I don't have to.
Here's the question. Let me see if I get the right tone. Here we go. The objective of any corporation or business is to generate the maximum profit possible. If businesses can raise prices to pay for a tax increase on their profits and not lose any customers or revenue, why don't they raise prices today?
Well, first of all, if that's the case, hell, raise them, double them, triple them. I mean, bring as much money in as you can. Of course, here's the one thing that keeps you from doing that. competition. Competition keeps you from doing that because the people will not purchase your product. Now, yes, when you are forced to pay more in taxes because the guy like Biden or a lot of these Democratic people want to raise your taxes, you want to pass along that cost, and you do. Now, you can do it a couple of ways. Number one, you can raise the price of your product and hope that you don't lose customers. And number two, you can cut back on the number of employees that you have and save money from that angle. Or maybe you can do a combination of both. But you are being forced by an arbitrary decision by the federal government to increase the cost of your doing business. But in the free market, and we've talked about this all the time, you can't raise your prices right now if you've got good competition because your competitors will benefit from the mistake you make by raising your prices and losing some of your customers. I mean, you're in business to make a profit. You're also in business to pay your employees. You want to keep your employees. Hopefully, you like your employees. And if you lose customers, it affects your ability to keep paying your employees. I don't know. I think their question almost presupposes something that's not true about if they have the opportunity, why don't they raise prices now? They would raise prices to as much as they could. It's like we said many times about the gas station. There's only one gas station in town, and it's 55 miles to the next one. So there you are, and you can kind of raise your prices. People are going to have to, they might complain, but they still have to get gas. Now, they may cut back a little bit on it, but they still have to buy your gas. Now, the guy, somebody else moves over on the other side of the street and builds a gas station, and his price is about 10 cents lower than yours. Well, everybody's going to go to him. So now you got competition going on back and forth. So you have to lower your price because you want customers to come to you. That's what's the great thing about competition. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if I hope I answered their question.
Makes sense to me.
Well, you're on my side. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right. Let us take our break. And when we come back, poor Joel Griffith had to listen to all of this. We'll bring him on from the Heritage Foundation.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Cantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back here on Freedom Works on a Friday, and delighted to have Joel Griffith join us from the Great Heritage Foundation, where he is a research fellow in the Rowe Institute there. And we're going to talk with him about, what Joe Biden said Wednesday in his speech. Basically, I think he was saying that the Heritage Foundation agreed with him that when the Republicans tried to lower taxes, that it didn't help anything. Joel, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, hello. Thank you for having me this morning.
It's absolutely our pleasure. So I remember, I was watching the speech on Wednesday night, and I remember Joe Biden using the Heritage Foundation rather proudly. I think he was talking somewhat about the Republican tax cuts, but you know better. Why don't you explain exactly what he said that was not true about the Heritage Foundation?
Oh, well there's so much, but the one in particular he said that his folks at the Heritage Foundation had said that these tax cuts would pay for themselves, and that they failed to do so. That's in a nutshell what he said.
Okay.
So that's actually not at all what we said. Number one, we said that these tax cuts would help create the economic boom, would help drive down unemployment, and would spur investment and drive up household income. That's what we said. And this misnomer about that every time that you have a conservative calling for tax cuts, that we're saying that's going to increase government revenue. No, that's not what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Now, there are times when tax cuts do indeed spur more government revenue, but that's not the goal of the tax cut. Our government takes in far too much money. We should want a government that's actually taking less money out of the economy, because that means there's more dollars in our pockets to spend and invest. And the bottom line is, when it came to these tax cuts, the vast majority of Americans, the typical family, received $2,800 per year in tax cuts. Businesses saw dramatic tax decreases, and we saw unemployment hit historical lows, and household income adjusted for inflation hit all-time highs. And that's in large part due to the tax cuts that passed 4 years ago.
Yeah, it seemed to me he's totally misstating things. But he must think that people just don't understand. I mean, he must understand. Yeah. He's been around there for 40 years. He must understand what's going on. Well, he knows that all of these raising taxes like this on businesses, it's not going to help anybody.
Well, when we saw the president up there giving really a bald-faced lie, saying that that people have admitted that these tax cuts did not spur growth.
Well, right.
That flies in the face of data. I mean, no economist worth his salt would say otherwise. We have data from the Census Bureau, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, from every economic outlet that show that we had an economic boom that continued until these ridiculous shutdowns occurred across much of the country. And that's in large part due to the fact that we had the most dramatic tax reform in several generations.
We're talking with Joel Griffith. He is a research fellow in the Rowe Institute at the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about the Biden tax plan. He wants to raise taxes on businesses, and he's claiming that he'll only raise taxes on certain wealthy people, et cetera, et cetera. I want to ask you, by the way, Joel, this morning, the new jobs report, the one for April, came out, and they were somewhat disappointing numbers. You have any thought about, they said they added about 266,000 jobs last month, but apparently that was a lot less than they expected.
Well, many economists were expecting closer to 800,000 jobs to be created last month. And when we say created, we need to remember these are jobs that are coming back, jobs that were lost as a result of the shutdown. Now, what we saw were about 266,000 jobs created in April. A really interesting tidbit is the number of jobs returning to the leisure sector and hospitality sector was 331,000. So that actually dwarfs the total number of jobs created economy-wide last sector. But there are few items of concern in that jobs report. We see that the labor force participation rate, that the number of people in their working years that are actually working or looking for a job, remains millions below what it was a year ago. And this is disappointing. And we also know that the federal unemployment bonus that results in so many people earning more off the job than on the job is operating as a tremendous disincentive
right.
to people to get back to work. We've got 40% of businesses that are reporting that they cannot find enough people to fill the jobs, and that's not a surprise because so many people, close to half the people, once they lose their job, make more off the job than on the job. It's bad for business. It's bad for the economy. It's also bad for the people that choose not to work rather than go to work. But this is a government-caused problem. And the other sluggishness in the jobs market that's in those, mainly in those areas of the country where you have these liberal governors that continue to put in onerous restrictions on their economies. These are places like Atlanta or Miami or Dallas. Those jobs markets are booming. There are cities all across this country where unemployment is actually now below 3%. But those are in areas of the country where people have had their liberties returned to them.
Right. I don't know. It boggles my mind. Before you came on, we were talking about the inability of a lot of these restaurants to get people to come to work. And I talked about a particular situation down here in Florida. Lawn mowing services are a big deal. If you own a house, you've got to hire a lawn mowing service. It's pretty much the way it is. And these lawn mowing services are losing some of their employees and having to cut back on the number of homes that they can provide lawn mowing services for. We lost our lawn mowing service. And he said it's because these employees of mine, I can't find enough employees to continue to do this. So they are staying at home to take in money rather than going out to work. So we've got a disincentive going with the federal government, which, by the way, I'm sure you agree, should never be involved in stirring the drink of our free market system with these kinds of things, you know, these unemployment checks that they keep sending out. Your thought?
Well, it is the federal government that is really, really throwing a monkey wrench into these states that are actually reopened as well. For good reason that Montana, the state of Montana, has actually told the federal government thanks but no thanks on these bonuses, because they know that it's actually hampering economic growth. And really, the jobless benefits, this is just really the tip of the spear in the ways in which the Biden administration is trying to remake and suppress our economy. If you look at that infrastructure plan, it's anything but infrastructure. 95% of it goes to reordering our society according to the dictates of the central planners in Washington, D.C. And if they continue down that road, we're going to end up with a situation at best like Western Europe, at worst like Venezuela.
Oh, my God.
Meaning that if you look at Western Europe, you know, a lot of folks here, we think, oh, it's a socialist paradise, it's free education, free health care. Well, they're paying a 20% national sales tax and a 50% payroll tax, and have unemployment that is 2 to 3 times as high as the United States. So that's the road we're heading down if some of these proposals become law.
I have a question for you, Joel. This is bothering, kind of scaring me. The stock market. Now, the stock market's doing very well, extremely well. I don't know why, but I'm worried because of this overspending and the possibilities of inflation, that at some point here, and maybe it's going to be coming soon, the stock market is going to turn around and really take a dive. Do you fear that, or do you have a thought on any of that?
Well, there's certainly in the market there is a detachment between asset valuation in many instances and the actual earnings or expected future earnings of these companies. But right now we have the market actually has been setting all-time record highs now for several months, and that's despite the fact that our economy is still smaller than it was a year ago because of the shutdowns. But it shouldn't come as a big surprise if you think about what's happened. You've had the Federal Reserve has printed digitally trillions of dollars, and they have gone ahead and bought assets such as bonds or treasury bonds or corporate bonds, mortgage-backed securities for investors across the country. Well, that money has to go somewhere. And interest rates are so low, thanks to the Federal Reserve and some of these banks, where investors are going to end up losing money adjusted for inflation if they put the money in deposits. So what do? They go ahead and buy up assets, including shares of stock. And that's a big part of the reason why we have seen these stock prices surge to record highs, despite the fact that our economy is actually weaker nationally than it was 1 year ago. So I think that your concerns are well founded.
Oh boy, yeah. I'm thinking that at some point, I guess I always worry. Here's the other thing: we print money, like you just said. You know, we print money digitally or however we do it. It's not backed by anything except that people think, I have confidence in our money, our currency, and so they will. We can borrow from them. They will lend us money. But what if at some point they go, wait a second, wait a second. I'm worried I'm not going to get a return on this money I'm lending you, and they stop lending us the money. Is that possibly in our future, do you think?
Oh, well, that's definitely in our future. If you look at the amount of federal debt we have, it's close to $30 trillion. Well, that's not all owned by just investors or other governments across the country. We actually have our own central bank that has printed trillions of dollars and bought up that debt, and then the federal government then has the money to spend. It's hard to get your minds around, but if you think about what's happened, you already have our own central bank that is holding trillions of dollars worth of that debt. Economists call this monetization, where you end up basically printing the money to pay for the spending, and you do end up seeing inflation as a result. In fact, we're seeing inflation now, and people are blaming it on the reopening and the demand coming back. But no, look at what prices were before the COVID shutdowns versus now. And you have commodity prices like copper's up 40%, lumber's almost doubled. You see it in the price of your groceries. You see it in the price of your housing.
Look at gasoline.
It's just a coincidence.
Yeah, gasoline. For the first time ever, it cost me over close to $50 to fill my tank. I mean, this inflation thing has begun, right?
Well, yeah, it has begun. Now, the Federal Reserve continues to say that this will be transitory, meaning this will be a burst of higher inflation that will level out. Now, perhaps that will turn out to be true, but we should remember that even if this is so-called transitory at the higher level, you still have wiped out the real value of the good chunk of people's savings, and you've eroded the value of people's paychecks.
That's right.
It's just for a short period of time. But if you look at the lack of appetite on the part of both Republicans and Democrats in Congress to actually tackle our long-term spending problems, we're in for a rough road ahead. And look, it might not be a full-on economic collapse, but it could be a slower economic growth. And it could be, you know, when you have inflation, what that also means is even if your income is growing, say, 3%, and you've got inflation 2%, you are having a better lifestyle each and every year. But you have to look at how much better would it be were it not for that inflation. You know, as our productivity increases overall because of technology or education, our incomes should also increase. But when you have this phenomenon where the government is able to continue just to have this money printed to buy up the debt and to spend, that means that we don't actually get to realize the full value of our productivity increasing. So our lives might get better, but you know what? It could actually be a lot better, and the government is robbing us of that.
Wow. Very good, Joel. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Really, always appreciate you coming on like this. Thank you so much. Look forward to our next chat.
Well, thank you for having me. Have a good week.
All right, Joel. Joel Griffith of the Heritage Foundation. All right, let us take our break. When we come back, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a new voting bill. It strengthens voter ID. It bans ballot harvesting, among other things. Let's get some thoughts about all of this from the proprietor of the Barber Poll himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. By the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network, and we are delighted to be here live for you. But if you can't hear us live, you can listen to us on podcast. Big Ed has all our shows set up on our website, on podcast. All you got to do is go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look for the podcast button at the top. Punch it with your finger, of course. And there you are. All right. Well, Ron DeSantis, our governor here in Florida, has signed a voting bill that makes Florida the latest GOP-leaning state to enact voting changes after the last election. He says that the new law would continue to keep things like mail voting accessible, but a stronger protection of election integrity, among other things, strengthening voter ID. We're going to enforce voter ID, he says. He says we're also banning ballot harvesting. We're not going to let political operatives go and get satchels of votes to dump them in some drop box. You know, he makes a lot of sense. And I think there's a lot of this going on, especially in the red states. So we got the Master Barber himself with us back again today. Andrew, you know, I think Ron DeSantis is probably one of the most logical thinking governors we've had in a long time. And I think this makes a lot of sense.
Paul, I think he's one of the most logical politicians speaking today, not just governor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many politicians do you hear out there? They flip-flop about this. Ron is America first. He's Florida first right now. But if you ever run any further, I guarantee you'd be America first, too.
He just seems to know what he's all about. You know, it's somebody that, I mean, you kind of, I don't know, Reagan had that quality, too. He knew what his philosophy was. He was very comfortable in it. It seems to me that DeSantis is the same way.
You know, Paul, it's like I tell everybody, if you look at Washington today, like I said before, you have Woodstock. The 70-year-old people that are there, they were all the ones that took off for Canada. Look at Biden himself. He had 3 college deferments with asthma. He wouldn't have to go to Vietnam.
Right.
Okay, so that's the elderly people you have in Washington. And then you've got the people that are in their 40s. Well, they were raised by the
By the hippie-ish people.
Right, by the hippie people. So
yeah.
They're all liberals in there today. Now you've got a guy that's governor, that was a naval officer for 6 years, did 2 tours of active duty, was a Navy SEAL. And you think he's afraid of these people? He says it like it is and does what has to be done. That's the difference with the politicians you have in Washington today and Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, indeed. And as I say, he seems to know what he is about. He seems to know where he's going with all of these things. I think people just have confidence in this guy. And this is one more thing that he has done. He says we're also prohibiting mass mailing of balloting. He says we've had absentee voting in Florida for a long time. You request the ballot, you get it. You mail it in. But to just indiscriminately send them out, he says, is not a recipe for success.
Well,
I mean,
we learned that, Paul.
Yeah.
We learned that through the last election. There was so much fraud. They did it purposely. They used COVID to cover it up. You know, that's what they did. They caused panic in the people, held an election. There was so much messed up in there. It was unbelievable, and it was stolen. And you know what? The truth is going to come out, Paul. It's just a question of when and time. Time makes the truth come out.
Right. Along that line, and by the way, we're talking with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi, best barber in Tampa Bay for my money. It says here, the U.S. Department of Justice expressed concern about ballot security and potential voter intimidation arising from the Arizona Senate's private recount of the 2020 election, the presidential election in Maricopa County. That's in Arizona.
They are worried about the recount. I think they're worried that the Maricopa County recount may show that there was some hanky-panky going on over there, because it's typically it's a Republican county, but apparently it went for Biden against Trump.
Everything went for Biden at 3 in the morning, Paul, while everybody was sleeping. Paul, let me tell you something. If they have nothing to hide, they got nothing to be afraid of. They're showing their guilt, Paul, by doing everything they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Yeah,
let them. Logical, very simple.
If they're confident, then the voting recount should reinforce them. You know, it should reinforce what they say.
They lie, steal, and cheat. Okay, mm-hmm. So naturally they're going to get caught. And it's just a question of when. It will happen. There's no question.
I heard Trump talking. I forget what venue he was talking on. Or maybe I heard it through one of his spokesmen. But apparently, it sounds very much like he is thinking of running again for president in 24. And he's all but going to announce it. Do you have any thought about that or feel that way?
Paul, I'd like to see him run again. There's no question about it. He's the one that we're going to need in there to clean up the mess that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. And he runs, I guarantee it's going to be a landslide, and I guarantee there's going to be people with shotguns watching these voting machines. I mean, they showed Sunday, I forgot which program I was watching, they had a specialist with a Dominion machine. He had 7 ballots he ran through the machine, and they had Biden's name on him, and they had Trump's name on him, and they had the other people that were running for different offices. And this gentleman put the ballot in the machine, and it showed that for every, 2.5 votes that Biden got, Trump got 1, even with Trump's name on the ballot. They would switch to Biden. So this stuff, even with the other people in the race, other Republicans, Paul, this is going to come out. Believe me.
It will if it's true. I don't know if it's true, but it will if it's true, I think.
I believe that it is, Paul. Mm-hmm. I'm already making them guilty, believe me. I'm judge and jury on this one.
Okay. Do you think there's a chance that both DeSantis and Trump would be running for president for the Republican nomination in 2024?
No, Paul, I think Ron is going to stay as governor in Florida, buddy. This is my instinct, okay? Ron is going to stay right here, I believe. And then I believe maybe in 2028 you're going
to
see him
dust up. I think
he's going to make Florida mm-hmm. so strong, he's already known all over the country that when he does run, he will landslide whoever they put against him.
I think the pressure from the Republican insiders who want to see somebody like DeSantis at the top of the ticket, they are going to be pushing on him to consider running for president. I really mean it. I think he's going to have a lot of pressure.
There's going to be all the pressure they want on Ron, okay? The insiders and the rhinos are going to be gone. He's not going to do anything they say, believe me. He's, mm-hmm. He is not fond of the rhinos, Paul.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
So how's everything going with your business? I mean,
you know, Paul, I was going to talk to you about that because your buddies there asked you a question this morning about why don't the businesses just raise prices?
Right.
Okay, well, here's the answer to that one. Okay, I'm a private owner barbershop, been in business for years. And today you have a lot of corporation barbershops and hair salons, Cost Cutters, Fantastic Sam's, that I compete against, Paul. Now, the people are going in there and they're paying $15, $20, $25 for a haircut. And they're getting amateur people out of school. And then it's okay because the average person that's going to get a haircut really doesn't know a good haircut from a bad one. Their hair is cut. Everybody else tells them how bad it looks when they're done. Now,
right.
Myself personally, you know that I have kept my prices at $10 and $12.
Yes.
$10 for seniors, $12 for everybody else.
They're great prices.
Now, you also know that I don't have many liberals coming in my shop because I do have a reputation. But I can tell you this. By keeping my prices where they are, $10 and $12, okay, once a person comes into my shop and gets a quality haircut at that price, okay, I'm able to compete because the people that do come in my shop have had bad haircuts before, appreciate a good haircut, and they tip us very well.
They do.
I don't have to worry about attracting people. I attract them with my prices and quality work. Once they go into one of these places and get a crappy haircut, they're coming to me paying $12 and tipping you out. I don't have to raise my prices. My price has been the same for, I'm going to say, 8 years.
Yeah. I think it's terrific. And you're right about the tipping. I think that's where, when people appreciate a good haircut, I mean, I know it. You can get double. I mean, I just say it right out loud. I mean, if it's a $10, $12 haircut, they'll give you an extra $10 because they like the way you do the haircut.
This is, like you said, this is competition. And this is how I compete against corporate America. I can undercut them because my overhead is lower than them. My employees don't change every week because they're fed up with what's going on, or I don't fire them because they're doing crappy haircuts. These corporate companies are corporate. You know, they go by the numbers of the bottom line. I don't. My bottom line is great because of my prices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. So the southern border situation continues to be an aggravation for Biden. He does not entertain. You know, it was interesting the other day. He was flapping his lips in that speech Wednesday night. Why don't any of these reporters throw out a question about why don't you go down to the southern border? Why doesn't Kamala Harris go down to the southern border and take a look? I never hear them ask about them.
Well, because they can only ask certain questions, Paul. You know, they're all, like I said, they ask what kind of ice cream he likes, what time they tuck him in bed at night. This guy's a freaking moron, and these reporters are morons because they don't have the balls to sit there and ask them the right questions,
yeah.
Paul.
I think that's true. Boy, I just remember how they treated Trump. They were screaming over each other to ask some sort of negative question to Trump. And they sit back. They keep their mouths shut. Of course, he only calls on people that are favorites. You know, it's unbelievable. In fact, did you know that I got to bring this up to you. Jen Psaki, you know, she's the White House press secretary. She said that Joe Biden taking impromptu questions is not something we recommend.
What does that tell you?
Exactly.
I mean, how stupid.
He might accidentally say the truth.
How stupid are the American people that they don't see what's going on? I think some of them are smartening up, Paul, but you know what? Some of them you can hit over the head with a 16-pound sledgehammer and you're not going to knock any sense in them.
Very true.
Okay, I'm telling you, the American people need to wake up. Look at how lazy, they're showing how lazy the American people are because they're happy sitting home getting their unemployment. Well, I don't know if they realize it or not, but they're getting baptized to socialism.
You are so
true. Doing that purposely. They're baptizing. They're getting them used to stability. You sit home, we're going to pay you. And then when we open up our government store, you can come and work for us, and we're going to give you this much every week. Probably be a little bit less then.
Yeah, right.
This is what they're doing, Paul. It's called bait and switch. They're baiting the people, and they're falling for it.
Wow. It is always a pleasure to have you on, Andrew. You really are the best barber in Tampa Bay for my money. Thank you so much, and we will be talking with you again on Monday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good week.
All right.
Talk to you later.
He's gone anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. But regarding to questions that are asked, I can tell you just dealing with some of the guys in the media here, some of our Tampa Bay athletes, about Jameis, for one thing, when Jameis Winston was here, the trouble he got into with the Uber.
Right.
We were told before he came to the podium there will be no questions about Uber, and they don't come out to say it, but if you break that, you find yourself on the out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I know that. And the same thing with these reporters. Trump would allow those people to ask those questions without banning them.
Right.
Banning them.
Yeah.
And here, you're right. I mean, if you dare, and especially if you work for like the Washington Post or the New York Times, if you dare to ask a question that was too tough. Your own newspaper would probably.
If you're expelled from the news conference, you're basically going to lose your job. Because you can't go there and ask
the question.
There
you go.
So,
yeah, exactly. So that's true. There is pressure not to ask tough questions because the media tends to favor the liberal politicians. And that's just the way it's been for a very long time. Okay, we are going to take our break. When we come back, a couple of things. We're going to take a look at what is China doing in the Atlantic Ocean these days. And the top 10 all-time costliest divorces. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment here. Freedom Works, we thank you so very much for being with us. Well, the top U.S. general for Africa is saying that a growing threat from China may come not just from the Pacific, but from the Atlantic as well. This is U.S. General Steve Townsend. He says Beijing is looking to establish a large Navy port capable of hosting submarines or aircraft carriers on the western coast of Africa. That's the Atlantic side. That's, by the way, where all the hurricanes start. Townsend said China has approached countries from Mauritania all the way to Namibia, intent on establishing a naval facility that would enable China to base warships in its expanding Navy in the Atlantic. Okay. Are we watching all of this? I wonder what Biden is thinking. I worry about Biden and how he would react.
Paul.
What?
If his administration, Kamala Harris, can't find the border, they're not going to find Africa. They have no idea what's going on. Huh? And, you know, I think, not to say, I think some of these countries tend to test every new president we have at some point, you know, with Kim Jong-un or whatever.
Yeah, at least Trump, you know, made efforts with, he's made, you would see him, you know, standing there next to Kim Jong-un of North Korea. Whether or not you thought what he was doing was right or wrong, he was there. He was there with he had, you know, he had a personal connection with China, with that guy, you know, Xi, the head of China. He was out there doing that. I haven't seen Biden go anywhere with anybody. Have you seen him?
No.
Standing next to some big, important leader like that? No.
I know he stiffed the Japanese consul.
Yeah.
They were rather upset.
Right. I mean, all of this is, to me, somewhat worrisome. I just wonder how he would react. You got to remember, too, that when we went after bin Laden, Biden was not for that. Biden was against going after Osama bin Laden during the Obama years. A lot of people forget that. And Biden doesn't want to talk about it too much because we took out Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Despite Biden. All right. Real quickly, before we go to our top 10, Ed, anything going on? Are the hockey playoffs coming up soon?
And yes, if so, they are. They are coming up.
We're excited here, are we not? Because the Lightning are going to... Are they going to have back Stamkos and Cooch?
It looks like it, to my understanding, that I know that Stamkos was skating and Kucherov is back skating again also. But they're still being very quiet about it. Remember last year they did the same thing with Stamkos, and they kind of just shuffled him out in one of the playoff games. He only lasted one, but they managed to get him on the ice.
Well, so if those two are back, we have a real good shot at getting our second in a row of Stanley Cups.
And the Rays just went four in a row against the Angels, and that was, you know, swept them.
It's amazing. We continue.
But you know what? Listen, the Angels are really bad.
Okay. Well, still, you went four in a row from anybody.
You could have got a couple of hits last night off the Angels. Oh, boy, was it bad.
Of course I could have.
Yeah.
I'd have to run them out. I don't know if I could make it to first base. Anyway, you know about Gates, of course. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it looks like the Gates divorce is going to be messy. It's going to be messy.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. There's no love lost between Gates and his wife, Melinda.
Wow.
I've been reading about that a little bit with the relatives.
Did they give a reason?
He has had an open marriage with her.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, he would go to an island with a girlfriend and spend time with her there. And I guess at some point, his wife kind of got tired of all of this. Anyway, with that being said, that'll be a big one. But here are the top 10 most expensive divorces, according to WealthyGorilla.com. Here we go. Number 10, Mel Gibson and Robin Moore. Can you believe Mel Gibson and Robin Moore?
Uh-huh.
$425 million. There you go. That's a very interesting one. Mel Gibson. You know, he's got about 8 kids, by the way. He does. All right, number 9.
Got a couple of meltdowns, too.
He has. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number 9 is Craig and Wendy McCaw. Now, I had not heard of this guy, but he is a Cellular and Clearwire Corporation guy, mogul. $460 million divorce. Number 8. Dmitry and Elena Rabalovlev. They're Russian. I can't help it. $604 million. Number 7. You know Steve Wynn? You know the big casino guy in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Steve and Elaine Wynn. $741 million divorce. Number 6. Adnan and Soraya Khashoggi. Remember the Khashoggi name came up during the death of Princess Diana?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, $874 million. Ooh. Wow. Number 5. Harold Hamm and Sue Ann Arnall. He is the oil magnate guy. $975 million divorce. Number 4. Bernie Ecclestone and Slavika Radic. $1.2 billion. Wow. Ooh. Number 3. Rupert Murdoch and Anna Torv. You know, Rupert Murdoch runs Fox News and all that. $1.7 billion divorce. Holy cow.
Wow.
Number 2. Alec and Jocelyn Wildenstein. He's a French-American businessman and art dealer. And their divorce cost him $3.8 billion.
Wow.
$3.8 billion. All right, Ed. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, do you think you know who's the number one most expensive divorce?
I don't know. I don't.
Somebody you know.
It's going to be, I was going to say, it was somebody from Hollywood?
It's somebody from the media business.
Okay.
Think Amazon.
I don't know.
Okay. Roman. Jeff and Mackenzie Bezos.
Who the hell is
the
that?
The Amazon. Bezos.
Okay.
Bezos.
Oh, okay.
The
okay.
Amazon guy. He's currently the richest man in the world. $68 billion divorce. Listen to this. Bezos is worth $137 billion. He's literally giving her half of his worth, or gave her.
How'd you like to be the lawyer in that?
Yeah, can you imagine the commission on that one?
Do they work by commission or what?
I don't know.
I don't think it's commission.
Probably not. Yeah. Bezos tweeted that they split, the two of them, he and Mackenzie, and reported that things came to an end after a long period of, quote, loving exploration and trial separation. They always say that. Oh, boy. Anyway, you better get a prenup if you're rich. That's all I got to say. We're going to be back on Monday. You have a wonderful weekend. And by the way, I want to promote our buddy coming on after the news.
Brother Jim?
Brother Jim and Courtesy Kia, right after the news.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. A federal grand jury has indicted Derek Chauvin and 3 other former Minneapolis police officers, accusing them of violating George Floyd's civil rights.